guess the world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me. In every tear, every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace. In heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is
good morning, ABC. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Shake some hands this morning.
I will arise and call to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of Christ my Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. It's shouting time in heaven, a sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven, salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. Lost and ruined by the fall. If you angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow, and now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord, my angels ringing out in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh, yes, it's shouting time. It's shouting time in the heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow, and now I'm feeling fine. And yeah, walking on the highway with my Lord, my neighbor's written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow, and
good morning, good morning. If you could work your way back to our seats. Let's continue to praise our Lord, Singer, Savior, by singing Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Page 8, if you're following the hymnals. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All we revere, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Let's go to page 29, singing Glorify Thy Name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And from there, let's turn to page 4, singing the first, third, and last verse of How Great Thou Art.
Good morning and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. We're so glad you guys decided to come and worship with us today. We want to take this time to welcome any first-time guests or friends. So if it's your first time here at Assurance Baptist Church, if you'll raise your hand, we have a gift for you to thank you for your welcome. Raven's being, you know, you're not going to introduce your friend, Raven? There's one up front, guys. She's being shy, but we do have one visitor up front. We're glad you're here with us today. If you guys hadn't noticed or noticed the lack thereof, Preacher is not here today. So he is preaching down in Bible Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia. So we want to be praying for him this morning while he preaches down there. And so this morning, Brother Brandon is going to preach for us. So we'll get to enjoy that here in a little bit. But we're going to get started with prayer, and then Maddie's going to come and sing for you. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, the opportunity, God, to come into your house. Lord, we pray today, Lord, that if there's someone here today that isn't saved, that they would come to trust you as their Savior. Lord, as we come into the service time now, Lord, we pray you'd use Brother Brandon, fill him with your spirit and your power, and that we'd be convicted by your word this morning. God, we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
the child to his mother. She held his head there on her knee until he died at noon that day. She didn't tell anyone. She ran straight to the man of God. And if anybody asked her, she replied, along her way. Side where she laid her boy when he died. They prayed a prayer upon him and he breathed new life again. Friend, God doesn't ever change. And if you'll have that woman's faith, he'll send you a miracle. And until then, you can say it is well. Knowing God has heard my prayer, and I will cling to the promise that he brings. Even death will have no sting, no power in hell. In his presence I will dwell, where it is
Amen. Good morning. You guys are a little asleep. Good morning. There we go. Well, when obviously you see preacher's not here this morning, but when he asked me to preach, he's been doing a series called A Church on Fire. And he told me to preach, and I said, okay, is there anything specific? He said, no, just whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And I said, okay, I can do that. And so I was sitting there thinking, and I think my own opinion, what the Lord has laid on my heart is goes very well with the Church on Fire. It's something that we see today with Christians or not even Christians. But two things I want to look at this morning is people going back and people looking back. If you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 9. Hold your spot there. And then also find Luke chapter 6. Luke 9 and John chapter 6. If you're able to stand in honoring God's word, we're going to look in verses 55 through 62 here. I underline a word here. If you guys write in your Bible, I encourage you to write this, something to go back to and look back on later. But Verse 55, it says, "But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Going to John chapter 6, we're going to read 66 through 68. 66 says, From what time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye go, or will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning. Lord, I just ask that you just hide me behind your cross. Lord, that you just speak through me, that someone in here this morning needs to hear from you. Lord, I ask that you just be with the preacher as he's preaching, be with the ones that couldn't make it here this morning. Lord, we're thankful. We love you. In your name and pray. Amen. So two things that I underlined here this while I was sitting here studying this, going back to Luke chapter 9, verse 61, it says, But let me first go bid them farewell. First let me go back, is what they're saying here. Or look back. And then, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. John 6, Jesus dealt with the problem of people going back. John 9, Jesus dealt with the problem of looking back. Mark this down. Everybody that looks back long enough will eventually try to go back. We've got a lot of people looking back today. My question is, are you one of them? They are like the children of Israel wishing they were back in Egypt. They are longing for the leeks and the garlic of Pharaoh. We have a lot of people today going back. They make commitments and fizzle out. They stand and testify of what God has done in their life, and 2 weeks later, they're the same. You know, this is one thing the teens know, and some of you guys know, this is one reason why I hate camp. There's so many decisions made at camp, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. People get saved. It's another blessing. But the thing is all those decisions is once the kids get back into the real world, they go back to their old ways because they are back with the same friends that they were with before they came to camp. And so there's a lot of people today that are going back. There's a lot of people that says, well, you know, I'm looking back. I want to go back, but I know that's not the right decision. But what we need is for people to make some drastic decisions that will keep them from looking back or going back. What we need today is for people to burn their bridges back to their old life. That's the title of my message today, is Burning Your Bridges. You know, your old life, when you are saved, you put the things behind you away. And sometimes we put them away just for a little bit, and then a few weeks later we get those old things back out and we end up doing them all over. And he talked about alcohol and just drugs and all that in general. Maybe some of you guys, that was your past, like mine. Mine was, I did drugs, I did a little bit of alcohol. And, you know, I could easily go back to that. But, you know, if I look back, eventually I'm going to work myself back to that. If I keep my mind focused forward, then I'm never going to look back. You know, you think of a farmer. A farmer today, they got all this cool equipment now that, you know, they can put all this GPS in and kind of just lounge and put their feet up, and it just goes. But, you know, back when they didn't have all this cool technology, they, you know, they had to keep their eye forward. As soon as they looked back, then they started getting squiggly lines. You know, as soon as we look back, we're going to be just like that farmer looking back, and our life is going to go all kinds of crazy. But, you know, if we keep focused on what the Lord has for us, if we keep focused down this aisle, you know, even though we think, you know, life is hard, God already has it. And so the phrase burning your bridges means do something that makes it impossible to return to an earlier state. You know, when you burn your bridge, it's, I'm going to say something else in a second, but when you burn your bridge, that gets you where you can never go back. Some of you guys are hiding something super small, not even you guys, but people all across this world, they're holding on to something. They said, oh, I can't give it all. So when something, you know, bad happens and they're addicted to alcohol, they keep one bottle in the cabinet up high so no one knows about it. But as soon as something crazy happens, they said, oh, life is hard today. I had a bad day at work. You're going to open that cabinet, and you went right back to the same old life you was before. So the origin of this burning your bridge, the positive form of this expression, burn your bridge, goes back to ancient Roman times. In those days when armies crossed a river to invade a new land or territory, the commanding generals would order the bridges burned in order to ensure that their troops couldn't and wouldn't retreat. You know, imagine that you went to the army and, you know, you're struggling with this certain sin. Everyone struggles with something. You know, even including myself, I'm nowhere near perfect, but you know, the thing is you got to burn the bridge. You got to go through your cabinets. You got to go through your life. Some of you guys maybe need to come to the altar this morning and say, man, I got to get rid of it. Some of you guys got to say, Lord, I'm going to let you have all of me, because this has really been on my heart, is a lot of us around is only given 75% to the Lord. We're holding on to that 25% and saying, Lord, I'll give this to you when I'm ready. No, just do it. Just do it. So, burn your bridges when it comes to the response of Scripture. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23. Let's keep going. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 1. Says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And he stood by a pillar and made a covenant. He made a promise here, King Josiah, before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and all his statutes with all their hearts and all their soul, and to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. You know, they are having a public reading of the book of the covenant. Notice here, King Josiah, just a little background, he was 8 years old when he became a king, and he reigned over Jerusalem for 31 years. So the main verse here I want to look at is verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. Again, he's making a promise. You know, sometimes, this is going off, this isn't even on my notes, but sometimes we can't even make a covenant for the Lord. Sometimes we can't even make a promise, and when we do, we break it because we look back. We're going back to our old life. And the thing is that we got to look forward. Let's keep going here in this verse. To walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. I want to keep reading here in verse 4. We're going to skip around through this chapter, but we're going to see what happens here, what he does. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made by Baal, or for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Here we see that he burned the vessels. He's going through, he's burning the bridges, and he's going one at a time here. Verse 4, we see that he burned the vessels. He's getting rid of it. He's tired of the Israel people worshiping idols. Going to verse 6 here, it says, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof unto the graves of the children of the people. Here is, they burned the grove. He burned the images, the wooden images is what here. Now let's see what else. So now he burned the vessels. He got rid of, he's tired of the people going back and worshiping idols. He's tired of them worshiping wooden images, images. And so here, verse 11, let's see what else he burns. He's purging out. He's tired of it. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in the house of the Lord by the chamber of the chamberlain which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. He burned the chariots. You know, think of all this while we're reading through these verses, of how much money that's going by. Because we're going to get to this. This is going to be a point. But think of all the stuff that this is worth back in the day. Right now, we don't think that's worth a whole lot. But back here, it's worth a lot of money. But same verse there, he also burned up the high places. We keep going here to verse 16. Next verse says, and as Josiah turned himself, he spied the speculators that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. We see there that burned the bones of the high priest. He's tired of it again. Verse 20, we see here, and he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. You know, here I want to break this verse down a little bit. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there. What I put here is the idolaters, priests who sacrificed to Baal and other heathen deities, for as for others that burnt incense in high places, yet to the true God those he spared, though they were not suffered to advocate at the altar of God. The others he slew. Break it down to the next part of the verse, upon the altars where they were all sacrificed. Go to the next verse here, or the next part of the verse, and burnt men's bones upon them, the bones of the priests and the worshipers of idols, as he had done at Bethel. And then he returned to Jerusalem. After he had gone through the land, both Judah and Israel, and abolished idolaters worshipped everywhere. Let's go to verse 24 here. Notice why he took such drastic actions. 23:24. It says, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the image and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. I underline this part of this verse, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book. So what can we notice about how he burned his bridges here? One, it was prompt. Verse 4, go back to verse 4, it says, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door. Make sure. Of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes from them into Bethel. You know, he was taking no chances of secret midnight idols. He cleaned it all out. He got rid of it. You know, sometimes that's what we got to do in our life. We got to be able to figure out what's tempting us. We got to figure out why we're always looking back. We got to figure out why we're always going back, and we got to get rid of it. The next thing here is, it was public. No way to do this privately or secretly, not a private vow or promise. No, he's just getting rid of it all. The next thing, it was pricey. Like I said, think of all the stuff that he got rid of and how much it costed him. But he didn't care. He says, I'm doing this all for the Lord. I got to be able to, so I don't never turn back. I got to burn that bridge. Second point here. Burn your bridges when it comes to your removing of sin. Acts 19:19. We're actually going to start in 18. Paul, he's preaching to Ephesus, or he's preaching in a place called Ephesus to the Ephesians. Verse 18, it says, and many that believed came, and notice this, and confessed and showed their deeds. Keep going here in 19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So many people are convinced of their sin, or convicted, not convinced, convicted of their sin, either through preaching, teaching, or the Holy Spirit. So how many actual people burn their bridges in a once and for all stand against that sin? Like I said, we all struggle with a sin. Don't say you don't, because then you're lying and then you'll be struggling with lying. But we all struggle with something. And so, again, ask yourself, are you able to burn that bridge? Don't say I'm going to do it tomorrow. Don't say I'm going to do it next week, because maybe you got a party or something that you got invited to and you say, yeah, I'm going to go there, but you already know what's going to happen there. And so then, now you got to tell that friend, sorry, man, I can't. You know, we sit there talking about it today in Sunday school is that, you know how much better it is to worship God than man? You know, there's so many of us that 50-50, yes, we sit there and we say, this is fun, and it's all worldly things. And when something bad happens, sometimes we get into that bad part of it. Instead of saying, you know, I'm with God, and I don't want to be against God, and, you know, a sin, getting into a sin is a dangerous thing. So these new converts literally burned their bridges so they couldn't go back to the former things. Again, A, it was prompt. They confessed, they showed their deeds as we see there. Second thing, it was public. They burned them before all men. How many of you guys, I was sitting there listening to some preaching, and this was obviously before my time, but they say that they had burnings at churches where they would come in and they would burn all their stuff that would cause them to sin. If it was music, if it was alcohol, if it's whatever it was, magazines, if it's money, you know, we all struggle with different things. And so this preacher says, yeah, you know, back in the day they had these church burnings where people would bring it in and they made it public. They said, I'm done. I'm tired of going back to the old sin. You know, my question is to you guys this morning is if we had a, I don't like to call it church burning because it just sounds funny, but if we had like a day where we put everything in the or whatever fire pit out there, would you make it public or would you say, I'm not ready for that? You know, a lot of us, you know, including myself, I'm not putting myself out of here. I think every time when I preach, the Lord puts something that I struggle with. So I'm not just calling out, but this is what I, you know, there's stuff that I struggle with. And, you know, we got to remove it. We got to get rid of it. If you're not willing to get rid of it, then all I got to say is I can just pray for you. Because I can't do anything for you. I can't come into your house or come into your life and say, we got to get rid of this, this, and this. You know, my wife loves going through my stuff and saying, you don't wear this. You don't wear this. And I said, honey, that's my stuff. I got that back when I was in seventh grade. Those are my sports jerseys now. And we had a yard sale. We had a yard sale, and, you know, she kept asking me, babe, you haven't worn this in a while. I said, no, that's fine. And then I have this blanket since I was a kid. You know, I'm just going to put it out there. I got a Stone Cold blanket that was, I don't know, I was probably like Dallas and Denver's age. And She goes, you don't even cover up with this thing. I said, yeah, I know, but it's special to me. She's been trying to get rid of my blankie. And I said, I just can't do it. I got a little Buzz Lightyear blanket as well. You know, I love Buzz Lightyear. My kid loves Buzz Lightyear. And I got that, and she says, well, you don't even cover up with that. Sometimes, I'm not saying I'm getting rid of those, so don't think I'm getting rid of those, honey. But, you know, sometimes there's those things that we hold on to. And some of you guys, some of people, they've been holding on to that same thing for years when it's nothing good for them. You know, as a simple and weird illustration as those blankets, yeah, I could get rid of them. But, you know, they mean something personally. But, you know, sin, it shouldn't mean nothing to you. You should just get rid of it and be able to move on forward with your life. But you got to have faith that the Lord will do it. You know, let's keep going down here. Is getting rid of that sin, getting rid of the stuff out of your life, it could cost you something. We see there in verse 19, it cost them a lot of money here. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000 pieces of silver is, give or take, roughly over $6 million back in that time. They burned it. They said, I don't want to go back. I'm tired of looking back. And they said, we're done. So it doesn't matter. But look what happened here in verse 20. This is amazing. They did all this thing. They burnt their bridge in verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and they prevailed. You know, I heard this from a preacher. Is if secret sin was an odor, we wouldn't be able to have church because we'd have to open up the windows because it would stink so bad. I'll say it again. If a secret sin was an odor, we wouldn't be able to have church because it would stink so bad we'd have to open up the windows. You know, it's a... So get rid of the secret sin. You say, I can't do that. It's hard for me. Well, look what King Josiah did. Look here what Paul and the Ephesians, they say that we had to get rid of everything. We don't need it. It's causing us to fall. It's causing us to stumble. So we got to get rid of it. Next thing here is burn your bridges when it comes to your readiness for service. 1 Kings chapter 19. Here is Elijah, not Elisha, but Elijah is running from Jezebel. We're going to start in verse 19. We're going to read through 21. 19. We're going to read through the end of the chapter, 21. 19, it says, so he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me pray, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again for what I have done to thee. 21, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I want to point out is Elijah was a hard worker. We see there, so he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You know, again, I had to put this in my message just because I had some hardworking teens in my house the past week. I'm putting in a fence. Brother Jaden's helping me. More or less, I'm helping him. He knows what he's doing. I don't. I'm just kind of there just for another person. But I will say we got some hardworking people in here. But Elijah, he was a man. He was a hardworking man. But here's the thing, is this is what's problem with our world, is there's not a whole lot of hardworking men out there. You know, this is really for the teen ladies or even single ladies, is that as you're looking for a man, make sure he's a hard worker. If he's not a hard worker, get rid of him. If you're with a man right now and he's not a hard worker, get rid of him. You got to go. In the Bible, it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Go down to another verse in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Get rid of that guy. Make sure that he's a hard-working man. Make sure that he could provide, not for a family, but for himself first. If he can't provide for himself first, then get rid of him. We see Elijah, he was a hard worker. He plowed. You know, today, plowing a field, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's easier back than this time. You know, in today's world, like I said, they got all these GPSs where they can kind of, you know, kick back and relax and maybe check, make sure the GPS is still going in the right direction. But here they had animals that they had to plow the field with. He had to make sure that the animals were eating. He had to make sure that they had water. That, you know, they didn't have all these water spouts and everything all over the place like we do today. He had to go fill it, carry this big old thing, and make sure that his animals had water. You know, Elijah was a hardworking person. Elijah had a ministry opportunity and presented it to him by Elijah. He was ready and accepted the open door of ministry. But first he had to do something before he could do this. Verse 21 says, "And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with instruments." I believe they were having a fire here because he had to boil it somehow. He slew them. He boiled them with their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. You know, Elijah was a hard worker. He had a ministry opportunity. And, you know, I look back from my past, you know, we see here that he was some type of farmer. You know, my past, electrician-wise, you know, they offered me school. They offered me all this other stuff. And I kept pushing it off, one, because I hate school, but the other thing is I felt like if I would went into school and put all my efforts in school, then I would pass up the opportunity of, Lord, this is better making money. This is better off for me. We see here that I had to get rid of it. Being the called ministry, when the Lord opens up a door, to go. So when the Lord opened up a opportunity, I had to go. You know, I believe Satan was trying to fight me as much as possible, going from working at my old job, Ohio Valley Electric, to coming to be assistant. Because one is that my boss offered me to stay. He's like, "Hey, we'll give you more money." But you know, I had to put to the side, oh man, this is amazing money. This is good paying money. But I had to put, no, it's not about the money. It's about what the Lord, he says, "Hey, here's a clean open door for you to be able to go be in ministry." And even if a preacher says, "Hey, you know, we're not ready for you to work here." But the thing is that if I went to school, I probably wouldn't be here this morning. I probably wouldn't be able to preach because my mind and my body would be so focused on electrical. You'd be electrical on the side, but my mind would be so focused on electrical that, yeah, I could be here and be the youth pastor for the teens and do all that, but I wouldn't be all in. I wouldn't be all in. And some of us, again, we're 75% in, but we can't give that last 25% to the Lord. Verse 21, it was prompt. "He returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, and he slew them." It was public. "He gave them unto the people." This was no secret. He says, look what I did. I don't want you guys thinking I'm ever going to go back, and I'm going to slew these animals so you guys could see. I don't want to sit there and say, oh, let me finish plowing this field. Let me finish doing my job. He says, no, I'm going to go ahead and get rid of it. I'm going to cut it and be done. Next thing, it was pricey. Again, think of the price of oxen back in the day. Think of how much animals were back in the day. You know, they didn't make all this wonderful money that everyone makes today. And think of all the hard work, the dedication that he put into these animals, his field, his job. He says, I got to get rid of it. I got to burn that bridge to be able to get rid of it. I got to be able to say, I'm done. Can you guys do that this morning? Can you guys say, I'm going to burn the bridge of whatever you're dealing with and say, I can't go back. I want to keep moving forward. Or are you guys going to be the ones that say, I'm just going to give a little bit of the bridge. I'm going to burn just a little bit so then I can maybe, you know, balance on a board. Or are you the one that says, I can't burn a bridge. I'm in too deep on some stuff. Thing is that you're not in too deep because you haven't talked to the Lord. You're not in too deep because, you know, maybe you haven't opened up your Bible in a while. Maybe you say, I'm in too deep because you've been living with the world. You haven't talked to the Lord in a while. You haven't been praying. You haven't been studying to show thyself approved. You haven't been out. Some of you guys say, oh, yeah, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But the thing is you don't act like it. You haven't burned that bridge yet. In closing this morning, is burning your bridge. You know, sometimes it can be a hard thing. Maybe it's a friend that you got to kind of just got to get rid of. They keep bringing you down. Had a lot of those growing up. As soon as I said, hey, I'm going to church. I'm not missing. I'm giving my life to the Lord. Guess where those friends are now? One, still living at home with mama. Two, don't even have a driver's license and just walking back and forth to work. Three is, I don't know where they are. So this is the cool thing is when you follow the Lord gives you more opportunity. The Lord gives you friends, family, because, you know, I'm not much of a, it might sound bad, of a, you know, big-time family person, per se. That's why I live so far away from my family, just because I'm just a loner, I guess. I like to be by myself. You know, I like hanging out with my wife and my kids and all that, but there's times when I need my own alone time. Maybe you got to burn the bridge of even a relationship. Some of you guys might be in a relationship and the other person doesn't even know what's going to happen to them when they die. It's a very sad thing because like I always tell the youth, is that a true friend, no matter what, will tell their friend about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if that person denies it. It doesn't matter if that person says, I don't care. But at least you were a true friend and gave them the truth, the word of God. Maybe the other thing, you say, I got sports, I got my kids are in this, my kids are in that. Well, I hate to tell it to you, but all that's worldly things. God says to be in my house. You know, the church doors are open Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Wednesday at noon. So maybe some of you guys got to burn some bridges and get your schedule right so you can be in God's house. Not just for friends, not for family, but to hear the word of God to be fed. The last thing here is maybe you don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Maybe you got to burn a lot of bridges because in the Bible, maybe you never even open up God's word. For the person that's not saved online or even in here, never accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's some things that you got to know. One is that Christ died on the cross for our sin. Not just for mine, not for everyone here, but for everybody's. And I'm going to be, baptism doesn't save you. Man can't save you, but only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. So if I can have all eyes closed, head bowed, You know, this morning, there were some bridges that I had to burn to be able even to preach this message. There were some things that I had to take care of in my own life before I could preach this message. So I'm asking one question this morning is, if you got some bridges to burn, you need to be at this altar this morning. For the one that says, I got a lot of bridges to burn, we'll get it done, dealt with today. Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get it done today. It might hurt. It might sting. But the Lord's always with you. And for the one that says, I never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Romans 3:10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one perfect in this world, not even myself, not including any man in here, not even anybody in this world besides Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die one day. But the cool thing is Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Christ died for us. He paid for us. He says, I could care, I love you so much that I'm going to have my son die for you. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to believe, you got to repent. You got to believe, and you got to call upon the name of the Lord. So my question is, if there's someone in here that says, I never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, if you could, just look up to me. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make fun of you. I just want to know. Starting with my left hand, be your right. If there's anybody in here that says, I never accepted Christ as my personal Savior, if you could just look up to me. My right side, your left, anybody? Says I need. Okay. My next question, and I'll finally be quiet, is that say, Brandon, your message, if you could, again, I just want to pray for you. Okay. I'm praying, then the music will start, and you guys do business with the Lord. Leave here today. Love you and thank you. And pray. Amen.
Please stand and join in singing, Near to the Heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place to the place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart. of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
If I can have, you guys can be seated. If I can have my ushers come forward. I meant to say this before I started preaching. Friday was a wonderful day. We had a Young at Hearts and Youth game night. If you missed out, you missed out on a wonderful night. But we had 31 people there with one visitor, and he accepted Christ that night. So a little sixth grader, his name is Elijah. So keep him in prayer. He came up to me and said, I want to be baptized today, but he wasn't able to make it. So just keep him up in prayer and that he can be here, all right? Let's pray for the offering you give back to the Lord as he blessed you, all right? Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house. And Lord, I'm again thankful for the opportunity just to present your word. Lord, I ask that you just be with this offering, that you'd use it around the world, that we could see your work done. Lord, I ask that you bless the people that give. And Lord, we love you. In name, pray. Amen.
If you didn't get a bulletin this morning, make sure you grab one on your way out or snag a picture of the one that's posted. There's a lot of events coming up, so you don't want to make sure you don't miss out on those. The first one we want to mention is for the ladies. There's our annual ladies conference at Bible Baptist Church in West Union is coming up. And so on the back of your bulletin, there's a note. They're going to have a meeting Sunday, July 30th, after the morning service for information about that. So even if you aren't sure you can go, but you're interested, we'd encourage you to go to that meeting. And then also Tuesday, August 8th at 6:30, there's a ladies' fellowship here at church, and Miss Sierra is going to be doing the devotion for that, so you guys will want to be here for that. Then we have Young at Hearts on Sunday, July 30th in the morning service. We'll be hosting our Senior Sunday, so make sure you see the note about that. And then the next one is Splash Camp. So tomorrow morning, our kids leave for Splash Camp, so you want to be praying for them. Parents, they wanted to meet here at the church at 8:15 to leave at 8:45. Is it next week? Did I read the wrong date? Yeah. Is it next week? I thought it was tomorrow. It's tomorrow. 31st? My dates are all mad. Hey, I'm coming back from 2 weeks. I went to church camp and then had Cuba missions trip, and I'm still screwed up. Next week. Thank you, Devin. Next week, they're going to meet at 8:15 and then leave at 8:45. And then they are the blue team. They found out they're the blue team, so you want to make sure they have lots of blue stuff to wear. Then the last one we have is choir practice. So choir practice resumes Sunday, August 6th. So if you're in the choir, you've been on break all summer, but it's going to resume August 6th. And then if this is a perfect time, if you want to join the choir, well, when they come back from the break is a great time to jump in so you can be here for that. And I would encourage you to be back here tonight so you guys are in for a treat. Brother Jeremy's going to preach for us tonight. So he's always over with the kids. And doesn't get a lot of opportunity to be here in the big church, is what they call it in, over there. So Brother Jeremy will be with us tonight.
Before we sing our closing, just a quick reminder, Young at Hearts, we will be having our meeting this coming Thursday at noon. Bring a covered dish. And we'll also be preparing for next Sunday. So hope to see all of you. Let's stand and turn to, you'll have to turn to page 345. We don't have a slide for this morning. Page 345, singing the first verse of Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foundation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Forward to seeing you this evening.